Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about trusting at the point of contact. In our lives, we can create these points of contact, which are a way to release our faith into something practical and physical that we actually do, or we actually touch, or a routine that we do. It can serve as a way to release our faith, and then it becomes about trusting at that point of contact and carrying it through. Staying in faith from that point on, it can create like this, the best way I know is a memorial. It creates a memory, and we can keep stirring that memory up as a way of a time where we released our faith. And from that point on, we continue to stay in faith from that point. And I'll give a couple of examples as we get going here today, but let's get started with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communions is we start with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer, which is about a 2-minute long prayer coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez with some other scriptures thrown in there as well. And then we take a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get still, to listen, to examine ourselves, and to follow God's leading and to plan our upcoming day with God as a time to get our minds cleared out, to examine ourselves before we get into our time of communion today. But let's get started with the prayer. And then we'll get into the other half of prayer for a couple minutes. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, all their friends, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes. We ask you to expand our borders and our territory, expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. We ask you to keep your hand on us. Help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And help us to get these points of contact established and firm in our lives. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, our first thing, other half of prayer here. Let's get our minds positioned on the light. God's released us from the darkness, transferred us into the light, into the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians 1:13 says we should be giving thanks for that regularly. One of the most powerful things you can do just to begin to shift your life is just giving thanks for that regularly. And we want to begin to focus on the light. Focus on the light. What are the things that are going well? Keeping our eyes fixed on God rather than the problems. What's going well? What were the steps forward that you took? Let's say over the last 24 hours, what steps forward did you take? What's going well in your life? What are you grateful for? Let's get our minds positioned on these things. And the indicator I'm learning more and more that I've got my mind positioned on the light rather than the darkness, because whichever one you are focused on, you're going to get more of. It's going to begin to grow and expand whichever one you put your attention and focus on. And the indicator I'm learning more and more is this feeling of either lightness or heaviness. Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, and you'll find rest for your soul. We've been transferred into this kingdom where God, everything happens by his grace flowing through us, not by our effort and willpower and striving. It comes all by grace. It's learning to receive these promises by grace and to allow them to flow out of us where we see the result of it. And that's where this bridge of trusting at the point of contact can be so powerful. But whenever you get that feeling of heaviness, just things feel heavy on you, that's a signal. Hey, I'm focused on the darkness too much. When you focus on the light, almost instantly, this shift happens where everything feels lighter on the inside is the best way I know to describe it. And then how are your levels of overflowing peace over the last 24 hours? Emotions are indicators. Emotions are indicators letting us know what we're believing in our hearts, what we're focused on, where our attention and focus is. And God has given us this peace, this supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's supposed to be flowing every day in our lives, but it's like a light switch. Either it's on and flowing or it's off. And if it's off, we're not experiencing that supernatural peace. It's usually because our focus gets off. We're focused on the problems more than we're focused on God. We're wavering back and forth. There's this separation happening. It could be separation. We feel separation in our relationship with God. Where, you know, we're wondering if we're good enough, if we're right with him, these types of things. And remember, it's about when we take communion today, you're right with him because of what Jesus did and because of his sacrifice, not because of what you did. And so it's learning to get our minds fixed on the light and then keeping our eyes singularly focused on him. And we've been released from the darkness, transferred into the light, into the kingdom. We've been seated in heavenly places with him. And just taking a second, the imagination is one of the most powerful tools we have for reprogramming our emotions. And just taking a second, this is going to be for our peace and joy today, for our emotional state. Just taking a second, and you can do it with me here, just visualizing, sitting at God's right hand. You're one with Jesus. You're in him. You're sitting with him on the throne next to God. And you want to get that firm and established in your imagination. And then taking that feeling, taking that vision and bringing that with you into your day. You know what? God's with me. He's for me. In his presence is fullness of joy, which leads us to our next indicator. How is your level of joy over the last 24 hours? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And in God's presence, there's fullness of joy. We're supposed to be experiencing this supernatural joy in our lives. And I've learned that joy is my indicator of presence. How present am I in my day? When I get dwelling on the past, worried about the future, it begins to steal our joy. Joy is our indicator of presence. And I like to say this, presence is what I call the grace table turner. All these good things that God has given us on the inside of us, this inheritance that he put on the inside of us, it's received by faith and it has to flow out of us. That's where creating these points of contact creates a bridge to allow it to flow out. And presence in the middle. Getting more presence turns the tables and allows this grace to flow out of us rather than staying stuck on the inside of us. So one very simple thing you can do just to experience more of God flowing in your life today, just get more present. And when you get more present, your indicator is going to be joy. When you experience more joy, that's your indicator that I'm more in the present moment. Not dwelling on the past, not worried about the future, and I'm aware of God's presence with me right now in the present moment. And then what do you know to do over the next 24 hours? What are the things that you know to do? We want to begin to clear some of these things out of our mind. When these things begin to stack up and pile up on the inside of us, they can block our clarity and our ability to hear clearly from God. And so what do you know to do? We want to get these things listed out. We want to start taking action on them, getting them chipping away at them. So they're not piling up on the inside. There might be some administrative things you need to do, little things, things around the house, errands you need to run. But then there's also the bigger things. What are those things that you desire to do? Those things that God is stirring you to do in your life that you're excited and motivated to do, but maybe you've never started them because they're going to take some courage to get started. What are those things? And we want to start chipping away at those things, start moving in that direction as well. You got to tackle both sides. You got to do the things you need to do, but then also God's stirring some things that you really desire to do. And we want to make sure we're moving forward in those things as well. And then finally, what's the most important thing you feel God is teaching you or showing you over the last 24 hours. If you're seated with him, you're sitting next to him all day and you're taking him into your day with you and you're in the present moment with him and you go through a whole day and you heard nothing from him, something's wrong. We're not tuned in very well. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. And it's his voice that leads us from the jaws of distress, Job chapter 36, 16, I believe, from the jaws of distress to a spacious place, free from restriction. If you'll stay tuned into his voice, he will keep leading you on this path to set you free to higher and higher levels. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So in the Abundant Life Blueprint, our whole program started for me with Proverbs 13, 22, that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's more valuable than money that I could pass on to future generations one day? And the answer is found in the book of Proverbs, that wisdom is the primary thing. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Those are the primary things to pass on. And so I made it my goal to pass on lessons for every area of life. And one of the things that led to is, how do we know if our lives are on track? What is our true north that lets us know how we're doing in life? And the answer to that is that, you know, we're making other people great. God's grace is flowing through us. And the result of that is that we're making the people around us great. When you set that as your target, making the people around us great. But you got to realize that only comes by grace. I believe that's very hard, nearly impossible to do on our own. We need some supernatural help that comes by grace flowing through us. God takes us on this path to make us fruitful, to multiply us, and to increase us greatly, where we become the servant of many and we make a lot of other people great around us. That's the path he takes us on. But in the middle, we have to learn to create these points of contact, these points of trusting in the middle, where we get ourselves out of the way so that this grace flows through us. We often put the pressure on ourselves in the middle. And when we put the pressure on ourselves to figure it out, to effort our way into it, to strive our way into it, to come up with this amazing solution, to figure out how to do it on our own, when we do all those things, all the pressure's on us, it's like a kink in the garden hose, and it blocks the flow of God's grace flowing through us from him being able to do what he wants to do in our life. And it's learning to take this humble approach that says, you know what? God, there's not much I know how to do on my own. Jesus says, on my own, I can do nothing. It's the Father in me that does the work, and learning to get ourselves out of the way. And so as a practical example, my daughter, my youngest daughter right now, is about 4 years old, and she was having almost every car trip we went on, she was getting car sick. Almost every car trip we were going on, she was getting car sick. And so I was praying about it, asking God what to do. And I felt like the answer I got was, he said, take some olive oil and rub it behind her earlobes before you go on a trip. Take some olive oil and rub it behind her earlobes before you go on a trip. And we did it once and I didn't think too much of it. She was fine on that trip. It was a shorter trip. And then my wife was talking to a pediatrician friend of ours, and she was saying that there is some stuff that you can buy that she's used before that's an oil that you actually rub on the back of the earlobes. And so I'm like, wow, maybe I was hearing that correctly. And just a couple of days before this, we were on a car ride and I caught myself just continually looking back at her to make sure she was okay. Just continually. And what is that? That was me not trusting. That was me stressing and worrying and not trusting and trying to figure out if she's okay. Because I don't want her to feel bad. I don't want her to throw up. I don't want her, you know, all these things happening. And learning to get myself out of the way. And I told the story on one of these daily communions the other day about it, where that was going on. I finally shifted my mind back onto, wait a minute. There's not much that I can do about this in my own strength. I don't know how to fix it personally. There's not much we can do in our own strength, but I know a guy who can fix it. And we're just one prayer away. And we have prayed about it before, but I wasn't trusting. I was taking it back, trying to worry, trying to figure it out, trying to do what I can do. And I'm not resting in it. And we have to get to this place where we're resting and we're trusting in these promises that God has given us. And I shifted my mind back and I started thinking about, wait a minute, God's with us. He loves us. He's got steadfast, unfailing love for us. And nothing's impossible for him. He can handle this a whole lot better than I can. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I just fixed my mind on him. Thank you, God, that you're with us. And sure enough, she ended up being fine. But then we ended up going on another car trip, and it was going to be on some windy roads. And I'm thinking about this. All right, we're going to be on some windy roads. And so I take the olive oil before we leave, and I rub it on the back of her earlobes. And it was an interesting thing that created, that became this point of contact that we're going to talk about, became this point of trusting. The olive oil was not me saying, hey, I figured out this amazing solution, and we're going to put this olive oil on her ears. This olive oil was a symbol. It's a point of trust to say, God, we feel like this is what you said to do. We don't know anything else to do. We don't know how to fix this on our own, but we're going to put this on her ears as a symbol that we're trusting in you. And it was amazing the difference in the level of peace and confidence in God that I had on that car ride compared to the time before, just a couple of days earlier, when I'm trying to figure out, I'm constantly looking at her and checking on her, making sure she's okay, and these types of things. So everything we do in the natural world is done from either a place of resting and trusting in God, or it's done from a heart positioning of trying to figure out, trying to solve our own problems, trying to force things to happen. And it's one or the other. Either we're creating this point of trust where we're trusting and resting in God, or it's this place of effort and striving and work. And we receive all of God's promises by faith and by grace, not by effort and striving and work. So we can come up with some solutions on our own. We can try to do some things on our own. But what I've learned is the more we do this, the more we just create solutions that just lead to more problems. Whereas God gives us these beautiful solutions, these beautiful promises that come to pass in our lives. But I was going to read something. This is coming from my book, The Eighth Date. And it says here, talking about the bridge, anything that bridges the spiritual and the physical worlds is a point of contact. This could be a physical thing we do, like in this case, anointing her earlobes with olive oil. It could be a time we do something, something we touch or contact, or even a routine that we do. Every need and issue that we have in life is like a pitch in baseball that's coming toward a hitter. We can either make contact with the problem, holding on to the trust and belief that God's grace is sufficient in it. Or in baseball, what happens a lot of times is hitters roll their hands over too soon, and they just make them hit every ball straight into the ground. Or we can roll our hands over too early and put the pressure on ourselves or others. The point of contact creates a bridge of trust that allows God's grace to flow through us. So here's some biblical examples of the point of contact. The woman with the issue of blood said that if she just touched the fringe of Jesus's clothes, she would be healed. The fringe of Jesus's garment was the point of contact. When Moses parted the Red Sea, his staff in his hand, he raised it up. That was the point of contact. Peter's shadow, when he was walking by, his shadow, people tried to get in his shadow and they were healed when they got in the shadow. His shadow was the point of contact. The disciples often healed people with handkerchiefs that they would send to people. These handkerchiefs became a point of contact. In the book of James, the sick are told to call for the elders and ask them to anoint them with oil. This oil serves as a point of contact. So anything that we do that can create this symbol, this point of trust, can serve as a point of contact that allows God's grace to flow through you. His power and his grace and his equipping to flow through you in your life. And one of the most, when I want to say this, it creates a memorial. When you create that point of contact, it creates a memorial or a memory. Creates a memorial or a memory. And I'm thinking of the example when Jacob was on the run from his uncle Laban. Jacob flees from Laban because Laban's mistreating him. And Laban begins to pursue after him and chase after him. But on the way, God appears to Laban in a dream and says, don't you say a word to Jacob. And so Laban and Jacob make this covenant. They stack a pile of rocks. That pile of rocks was the point of contact. That was the memorial. He said, this pile of rocks is going to be a reminder for us that I'm not going to come after you. You're not going to come after me. We're going to have peace. So they had a physical symbol of something that represented something that was invisible. And what is communion? Communion is a physical symbol of the spiritual and mental and just a symbol of God's grace and his love for us, of this new covenant that we have in Christ. And so every time we take communion, it's this opportunity, it's this point of contact, this point of trust, where we're stirring up the memorial, we're stirring up the memory. So as an example, every time we were driving in the car, if I was tempted to worry, I would think back, wait a minute, we put the olive oil on the ears and God's got it from that point. It's in his hands now. There's nothing I can do. It's in his hands now. And so every time we take communion, we're stirring up the memory. It's a reminder of the covenant. It's a physical point of contact that can allow this grace to flow through us in our lives. Every time we take this, it's a memorial. It's a memory, bringing that sacrifice of Jesus into the present moment, making it active and relevant in our lives. And the Apostle Paul says in, I think it's 1 Corinthians, that every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus. And his death is a big deal because in the case of a will or an estate plan, to activate all of the inheritance and all of these things, you have to prove somebody's death. So every time we're doing this, we're proclaiming his death, saying that all of the inheritance, all of God's promises, everything that he's given us poured out in Christ, we're making it active and relevant in our lives right now today. And it's a point of trust that when we take this communion today, that going forward, God's got it. We don't have to stress. We don't have to strive. We don't have to worry. And we do this often for specific promises. But today we're going to talk about this as just the trajectory of your whole life is going to change. From this point on, we're going to receive this, that God's grace is going to flow through us. The result of that, we're going to end up making a lot of other people great. It's going to change the trajectory of your whole life starting today. We're going to bring this sacrifice of Jesus into this present moment and allow it to create a point of contact that changes the trajectory of our life going forward. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. We just thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you." And then he said this very simple thing, "Do this in remembrance of me." He said, "Take it. Do this in remembrance." We're stirring up that memory of what happened, bringing it into our lives right now and trusting in that. He said, "Take it, receive it." Receive what? He makes you right with God. He makes you holy. He makes you perfect in his sight, that you can approach God with freedom and confidence, that all of the promises in Christ are yes and amen. God's given us his steadfast, unfailing love in Christ. And love never fails. He loved you so much, he was willing to send his one and only son to die for you. And if he would do that, how will he not freely give you all things? You pair how much he loves you, and then you pair that with his mighty works, that nothing is impossible with him. You put those two things together. Wait a minute. He's with me. He's for me. He loves me. And nothing is impossible for him. That's what we're receiving today. And that's what changes the trajectory of our lives. If you have your bread, let's take your bread here. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sins, in his blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." Think about this, the new covenant. Talk about a new way of living. Living in this covenant of God. Our part is to stay connected to him, to abide in him, to follow his leading and his voice, and to walk in love. Loving God, loving ourselves, loving other people. To walk in love is the greatest commandment. To stay connected to him and abiding in him and trusting that if we do that, he's going to lead our lives to this beautiful place. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup and what it represents. And we just ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. All right, so now it's simply about walking it out. I believe as you grow in these points of contact, you see God's grace flowing through you in your life. It allows you to know God better. You know his heart, you know his love for you, that he will never fail you or forsake you. You begin to see that flowing in your lives. It allows you to know him better. And Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they would know God and they would know me, Jesus Christ. That's his definition of eternal life. So now for us, it simply becomes about walking it out. If you're ever tempted to get into stress and worry and effort and trying to figure things out, trying to earn things with God, put all that aside and rest and go back to this time of communion and say, wait a minute, I received that. God's on it. He's got me. He's with me. He's for me. He loves me. And nothing is impossible for him. And wait for his timing to unfold beautifully in your life. Create this successful points of contact. And we're going to begin to grow in this from this point on. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in our program, The Abundant Life Blueprint, you can learn more at our website, theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.